Staying with the Steve Jobs story, we want to give you a sense of the style and character of Steve Jobs through his words and his voice. Unlike a lot of corporate CEOs, there is a deep archive of Jobs addressing the world, announcing new products, imagining the future, or declaring a new era.
IBM wants it all and is aiming its guns on its last obstacle to industry control, Apple.
That famous announcement back in 1984 heralded big changes for IBM that even that corporate behemoth couldn't imagine. But it also announced the era of Macintosh. Macintosh, no longer a fashion item or a kind of Apple, the Mac as computer would supersede them all.
We shall prevail.
On January 24th, Apple Computer will introduce Macintosh. And you'll see why 1984 won't be like 1984.
Jobs directed the evolution of the Apple corporate brand, way beyond chips and software. That bit of Super Bowl advertising you just heard was an instant classic. From the beginning, this prototypical inventor, nerd, college dropout — he dropped out of Reed College in Oregon, it's about the least techie school you could ever pick — he left it to change the world. Inventing the first successful personal computer was just the opening milestone for Steve Jobs, collaborating back then in San Jose with his old pal Steve Wozniak, speaking here to the BBC.
We had this incredible technology already developed, thanks to me, which was the computer. We didn't have to go seek money with ideas on paper of something we could do. It was a total revolution.
Perhaps revolution was always what Jobs and his co-conspirators at Apple were selling. Here is John Sculley, who was CEO at Apple for a time. Jobs convinced him to take the helm from Pepsi so he could go off and pursue his own innovations. Did Sculley find Jobs convincing?
And then he looked up at me and just stared at me with this stare that only Steve Jobs has. He said, "Do you want to sell sugar water for the rest of your life, or do you want to come with me and change the world?" And I just gulped.
Sculley was just a placeholder, though. When Jobs saw where Apple could go and where the business was headed, he returned to the company he founded in 1997. It was a company that had lost its way. No problem. Jobs could fix that. Is the future gadgets? Is it software? Is it communication? The internet? Wireless? Yeah, he answered. It's all of that.
We combine all the disciplines under one roof. We own the second highest volume operating system in the world and what many consider to be the best. We write lots of applications. We have great industrial design, and we know how to make great devices. And there's not another company in the world that has all that.
And to give you some scale, this is what it looks like. Again, you can just pick this thing up. It almost floats.
This is how you turn it on. This is your music. And this is a call on your iPhone.
It's been his own biological hardware that has bedeviled Steve Jobs. Diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, he received a liver transplant, has been out of sight for long stretches, his precise physical condition concealed from even Apple investors, who have continued to reward the company. This month, it became the most valuable company in America by stock valuation. At an emotional commencement address in 2005 at Stanford University, which he began by proudly announcing he was a college dropout, he talked about how one of his greatest influences was the legendary DIY magazine, The Whole Earth Catalog.
On the back cover of their final issue was a photograph of an early morning country road. Beneath it were the words, "Stay hungry, stay foolish." It was their farewell message as they signed off. And I have always wished that for myself. Stay hungry, stay foolish.
Still very much hungry and foolish and preaching revolution, we leave you now with Steve Jobs this year at an Apple Developers Conference, announcing another revolution. The digital world, he says, is headed for the clouds.
Now, some people think the cloud is just a hard disk in the sky, right? And you take a bunch of stuff and you put it in your Dropbox or your iDisk or whatever, and it transfers it up to the cloud and stores it, and then you drag whatever you want back out on your other devices. We think it's way more than that, and we call it iCloud. It's completely integrated with your apps, and so everything happens automatically, and there's nothing new to learn. It just all works. It just works.
It just works. Steve Jobs is still with us, of course, but his generation of leaders who created the digital revolution, it's passing. Jobs stepping down is a reminder that they will not always be around to point the way forward.
Stay hungry, stay foolish.
Joining us once again, Ken Auletta, who writes the Annals of Communications column for The New Yorker magazine and the author of Google, The End of the World as We Know It. Ken, you know, react to any of that audio. You've gotten that Steve Jobs stare, I believe, in your own personal career. And assess for us the successors.
Well, the real question about Jobs is, I mean, he was a product guy as well as an inventor, as well as a businessman. He focused and loved to shape products. And Tim Cook, his successor, is a brilliant executive, but he's not a product guy. And so one of the real questions is, can Cook do what Steve Jobs did? And will Jobs be around to help him and focus on product? Will Cook need a product guy, person to come in and help him on the product side?
Isn't that the reclusive Jonathan Ive, who I know you've met and is the product guy there?
He's a brilliant product guy, a brilliant designer. Will he stay? I mean, there have been rumors for at least a year that he was talking about leaving. You know, it's hard to keep a team that's been assembled by Jobs who may want to move on. They're very rich now. Maybe they want to run their own company. These are some of the questions that Cook will face. I mean, clearly Cook was a key deputy to Steve Jobs, but can he be the CEO? We're going to learn that.
Indeed, and he's facing that question today. His order of business begins as the named successor, Steve Jobs, resigning yesterday. Ken Auletta, thanks so much.
My pleasure, John.
Ken Auletta writes the Annals of Communication column for the New Yorker magazine, author of Google, The End of the World as We Know It. What do our listeners think about Steve Jobs going away? Jobs said no more floppies, Gustavo in Coral Gables, Florida writes, and the floppy disappeared. When John Sculley stepped in as CEO in the 80s, 90s, he did not run a terrible Apple business-wise. It was just that the magic was gone. Good luck to Tim Cook, but magic? What do you think? Are you a PC person or a Mac person? Tell us at 877-8-MY-TAKE and assess the impact of Steve Jobs.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.